AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Of course, Michael Broadcorp has joined us with the book, The Girls Are Gone, Missing in Minnesota. We've kept up to date on the Sandra Grazzini Rucki story and all the many tentacles that come off of that. But of course, he is an insider with Republican politics, also a pundit who's been talking about politics. And he's had, and frankly, he's had one of the best Twitter feeds you could possibly have during this scandal with Jennifer Carnahan as well as Lazaro. Not necessarily for salacious Democrats out there, but actually it's the information that he's putting out is actually very good. I highly recommend you're following his Twitter feed. He's kind enough today to join us to talk about the Minnesota GOP scandal as well as also messaging for the Republicans as they head towards 2022. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for the opportunity to be on.
My pleasure. I made a joke to you earlier today. You and I have often commented about the Girls Are Gone. Great book. Go get the book. Your story in there is so unbelievable that it'd be hard to top. And boy, it's almost like karma has said, hold my beer, because we are looking at
a
story.
You're exactly right.
This, when this story started breaking, that Lazaro was getting arrested by the feds, the connections to Jennifer Carnahan, the fact that there clearly was a lot of problems within the Minnesota GOP, how surprised were you at what the news cycle as it was coming out?
Well, it was surprising. I've never met Anton Lazaro, what was so significant to me was the speed at which he had moved, and a number of the allegations that had came out related to former party staff and other things about knowledge and information that people inside the party may have been aware in some way. Your listeners may not know that there's been some civil litigation that's been filed related to some of these allegations, so I want to be careful. But suffice it to say that former executive directors inside the Republican Party of Minnesota raised substantive concerns about some of Jennifer Carnahan's leadership while they served under her. And there were some allegations made that she was aware of some details related to what was going on with Anton Lazaro. It's unclear at this time the extent of what she knew. I think the question would be phrased in the best way of kind of the classic kind of Nixonian question is, what did Jennifer know and when did she know it? But the aftermath of Anton Lazaro's arrest was quite significant. The chair of the party, Jennifer Carnahan, later resigned. She was provided with an unusual financial settlement. Most party officers who leave office are not given financial settlements. Jennifer was given an extensive financial settlement that has divided the Republican Party. The party itself right now, because they're rudderless without a chair, is just simply not functioning in this state. And so it's unfortunate for Republicans who want there to be, you know, a vibrant kind of party in the state, because the party right now is rudderless. They are consumed by what's been going on related to this Lazaro matter. And ultimately, the party right now is not going to elect a new party chair until, I believe, October 2nd is the scheduled date.
Yeah.
So there's a few more weeks. There's nearly a month of this type of rudderless leadership that's going to be happening at the MNGOP headquarters.
Rebecca Brannon, an independent journalist, she was, I think she was trying to read Alpha News about, you know, just kind of looking into the background and uncovered a lot of details in this story. Some of the stuff that she's put out, especially about Lazaro, is incredibly disturbing. You know, there also is some implications that Jennifer Carnahan, and I want to be careful how I say this. I mean, from what you read from Rebecca Brannon is she might, you know, there's no, you know, admission that she knew what was going on, but there seems to be some statements that she had made that imply she knew something was up, because she kind of, even was in July, had sort of said he's got, you know, was commenting about Lazaro and saying he had issues or something of that nature.
Yes. Rebecca Brannon has done some amazing reporting on this case and uncovered some of the raw details. And for your listeners, Matt, I think we should make sure they're aware. Some of the allegations in this, I mean, you know, Anton Lazaro has been charged related to sex trafficking. Some of the allegations are involving minors. This is some very, very raw material. And it's very difficult to kind of just wrap your head around, but the material itself is quite difficult to just kind of examine. But, you know, there was an allegation made by the former executive director of the party, who served under Jennifer Carnahan, that she had made some comments about not approving of Anton Lazaro's lifestyle or some other types of things. So there are questions as to what Jennifer Carnahan knew and when she knew it. But the allegations are substantive. The allegations are serious. And ultimately, I think as this criminal case proceeds against Mr. Lazaro that's going on in federal court, more is going to come out about this. And I think we might have more of an idea as to what people knew and when they knew it.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I want to, you know, piggyback on what you just said there. Rebecca Brannon has done a lot of a very good journalism research. But if you go and look at her streams, and I've posted this online, I said, be careful of what you're looking at, because some of this stuff is very disturbing. These allegations against Lazaro are deeply disturbing. So I just want to make sure everyone is careful with that. Lazaro seems to have been able to get into the Minnesota GOP ranks with money. And I don't know if this is necessarily a Republican problem or, you know, at all. I think this is all politics. This seems to be a case where a lot of people were getting donations. No one seemed to be asking where the money was coming from, per se. They just were grateful it was there. And it kind of exposes the ripeness of a political party today to be undermined, overtaken by just simple political donations.
Correct. Anton Lazaro was unusual in a sense that he was a young donor to the party, but he was also a very wealthy donor to the party. And I think this is pretty fair on both sides. A lot of the folks, when young people get involved in the party, you know, they're usually relied upon for grassroots work, to be volunteers. You know, they do a lot of young donor events, small dollar events. Anton Lazaro was giving thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of donations to a whole variety of candidates. Not only was he doing that, and there are donors who probably gave more money to the party than Anton Lazaro did. But what was unusual about Anton Lazaro is that the confidence and closeness of a relationship that he had with Jennifer Carnahan. He was involved in her leadership campaign. When she ran for party office, he also hosted a podcast with Jennifer Carnahan called Truth Matters. And so he was not just an average donor. He was not just a standard donor. He was unique in the sense that he was young, he had access to this money, but he was also someone who had a close relationship with the party chair. And so with the podcast and his other work that he did with the chair of the party, he had a special connection with her. And the type of thing, when the charges come out and this information and these allegations are raised against Anton Lazaro, it's completely fair and it's completely reasonable to look at the decision Jennifer Carnahan made to associate with someone like Anton Lazaro and say that she did not exercise the best judgment by having this be the person that she decides to host a podcast and invite into the party circles like she did.
And just on a quick side note here, how did Lazaro make all of his money?
It's unclear right now.
Yeah.
It's unclear as to how he made all that money. And I think we'll find out more information when the criminal case against him proceeds. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. He had a lot of money. You know, his home, condominium was raided by the FBI, I believe, in December of 2020, and they took an extensive amount of both cash and other forms of currency from him. And so whether it was an investment or whether it was other things, I don't know that the allegations that have been made against Lazaro in federal court discuss necessarily the payments and the other things. I don't know if he was making money off of the things that he was related to what he was charged with. But this is someone who was young and had access to a lot of money, and he used that money, I think, to buy and gain a seat inside a political party. And it's unfortunate that that's happened, and it's caused a lot of pain and trauma to people and will likely for the near future.
The party itself is not well. There is definitely a split here. A small but powerful minority, it seems, was able to get that $38,000 severance package passed for Jennifer Carnahan when she left, because once again, the compromised nature of the Minnesota GOP to Lazzaro. The fact that she was allowed to be the deciding vote on whether she got that compensation, I think, you know, left a lot of people angry. I believe there was an attempt to call a meeting very quickly to basically undo all that. But of course, there were some rules that were not being followed, and which brings up the point which you talk about with the October 2nd meeting in Hopkins they're going to be doing to have the committee meet. But the reality is that this decision to pay out $38,000 to her, that has really made a lot of people angry. And what I find is interesting, it seems like it's the moderate Republicans and the extreme far-right Republicans are the ones that are the most furious about that.
Correct. There is a substantive divide in that about whether that should have been done. I am unaware of, and I served as an officer of the party for a few years and have been involved in a variety of staff positions inside the Republican Party. I'm unaware of it. It may have happened, but I'm unaware of any other situation where a resigning chair or a departing chair was provided with that extensive of a severance package. It has divided the party. It has divided the party also from the standpoint is that the news of that severance package has created a substantive fundraising problem for the party. This was discussed at a meeting last week amongst some party activists that was held roughly a week ago, if not a little bit earlier, near the end of August, about some of these funding issues. The small donor program, the large donor program. Donors that are out there that want to support Republican candidates don't want to give money. They want to give money to support candidates and the party's platform. Donors are generally not interested in giving money for there to be a financial audit that's been requested by the party to make sure that they've scrubbed all of Lazzaro's contributions and other things from the party. There are, you know, those are the type of things that the party is now on the hook for. So yes, there's the news of Jennifer Carnahan's severance package, but there also are a number of lingering issues that need to be dealt with because of her departure. They got to pay for a state central meeting. They have to organize for that. They have to pay for some audits and some forensic accounting and some other investigations internally. And so she left the party in a tremendous financial and organizational mess. That's going to take a lot of time for the Republicans to dig themselves out of.
Do you feel as if, and you know these candidates better than I do, of the people who have announced their interest in possibly running the Minnesota GOP, is there anyone that you look at that says, you know, put that person in power, they might be able to wade through this mess?
You know, there's two candidates in particular. You know, I haven't spoken directly to any of the candidates, but in my observation, I think both Jim Neuberger and Jerry Dettinger are going to be the candidates right now. That's what I think the race is between. Jim Neuberger was the Republican endorsed candidate for the United States Senate against Amy Klobuchar in 2018. And Matt, your listeners will know that's a tall order to run against Amy Klobuchar. News today came out about her, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't wish her and her family all the best health. I'm glad she's doing better. Senator Klobuchar is, but Neuberger was the 2018 candidate against her. And so he's, you know, taken on and obviously has support with the activists. Jerry Dettinger is taking a more traditional, he's taking more of an approach of being, I'm not going to take a salary, I'm going to raise some money, and I'm going to bring in staff to try and professionalize the operation. I think the race is going to come down to those two candidates. But ultimately, the problem is, just like if we were Vikings fans and a head coach left during the middle of the season, the games are going on and there's organizational work being done. The Democrats are out there organized. They have their candidates. They have their things firing right now on all pistons. And so the Republicans need to get their house in order, get their candidates, get their leadership race resolved, and then get their house in order so they can start to credibly start getting into some electioneering that's going to be happening on. But the time is running. And so while the Republicans are kind of sitting there, kind of stuck in the stable, kind of getting their horse out of the barn, the DFL's horse is down the field, down the track running. And that's not a way you want to be coming into an election cycle.
Michael Broadcorp joining us, insider with the Republican Party. I do want to bring that point up, too. MinnPost yesterday said, hey, Republicans have picked up 40,000 votes on the Iron Range, but the Democrats have picked up 320,000 votes in the metro area. You got redistricting coming out. That's why I think your insight into messaging is important to touch on as well. The idea, you brought the point, 70%+ of Minnesotans have been in the process of getting vaccinated. And so if you're going to be running on this anti-vax, COVID's no big deal kind of messaging, you're going to get destroyed on a statewide race because you're going to have to make sure that messaging fits in with where the voters are, which, once again, with redistricting, you're going to be looking at a lot more stuff moving towards the metro area. Your thoughts on that, because it does seem misguided.
Oh, there's no question it's misguided. It's completely backwards. You know, one of the things I say to you, Matt, is rarely do you see a situation like we're seeing right now related to the vaccination rate in Minnesota. Because of COVID-19, because of the vaccination, because of the information that's being provided by the Minnesota Department of Health, Minnesotans are able to sit down and look at a website, and based on the data that's provided, have a relatively good understanding in a timely manner of what is the vaccination rate in the state of Minnesota. Current numbers show that 16+, over 70% of Minnesotans over the age of 16 and over have had at least one vaccination shot. That is, in my opinion, a validation of what the Walz administration has been doing related to COVID-19. I get, and it's something that I always bring up, this vaccine that is out there right now was started under a Republican presidential administration. It was rolled out. It was really, went into overdrive and distributed under a Democratic administration. But people are accepting it. And what I find so challenging amongst the Republican candidates is that their message of anti-vax, vaccine freedom, and all this type of stuff is so backwards. 70% of Minnesotans, just by the data the Minnesota Department of Health has put forward, are volunteering and are interested and are wanting to be vaccinated. And that is, and the fact that the Republican message seems to be geared towards the 29 to 30% who haven't been vaccinated is just, I don't know other way to describe it other than campaign stupidity. Where the Democrats are going to do better with their candidates than the Republicans right now is that they're talking about vaccination rates. So the Republicans want to go out there and make vaccines a boogeyman in this election. Well, over 70% of Minnesotans don't agree that vaccines are something that we need to be afraid of and concerned about. Mm-hmm. But that's the message that they're leading with. So, I wasn't a math major in high school or college, but you don't have to be a mathematician to understand that 70+% is a larger number than 29 to 30%. And the Republicans right now are doing a fantastic job of targeting their message toward the 29 and 30%. And that's just an absolutely foolish message.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that, MinnPost today, their latest poll in greater Minnesota, where there are more Republican voters, 56% are against the mask. But in the suburbs, where these elections next year are going to be decided, 58% are for masks. So, yeah, you're...
And having been involved in redistricting, Matt, one of the things that used to happen is the data used to support the Republicans. Their growth was in the suburbs. And I mean no disrespect to greater Minnesota, but there's always more growth in the suburbs. There's always, that's where it's blossoming. That's where it's growing. And if Republicans want to win statewide, they have to win on issues that resonate with the vast majority of voters. And the problem is that Republicans, the issues that they're supporting do not resonate and do not match up with where the voters of Minnesota are. And that's the reason why Republicans have lost 28 of the last 29 statewide elections. That MinnPost poll the crosstabs on that was an amazing piece of political polling. And I think it really encapsulates why Republicans are losing in such a consistent way across the state.
Mm-hmm. The Girls Are Gone is the book. Of course, that's a Sandra Grazini Rucky story, and Michael Broadcorb covered that. Of course, Missing in Minnesota hits if the continuing coverage there. I can't advise you more. They're both fantastic. Go and make sure you're following both of them. And if you really want great political insight, especially from the right, make sure you're following Michael Broadcorb. He's got a lot of great points that he makes. I highly encourage it. He's up on Twitter giving you the insight there. Michael, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this. You visiting today. This has been outstanding. Thank you very much, my friend.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather. Be safe.
Take care. Michael Broadcorb joining us. We'll spotlight that one for sure. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.